Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, September the 10th. Our guest this hour says there are plenty of good movies coming out this fall, but he wonders if you'll actually go see them in a movie theater, or if you're opting more and more these days to watch movies some way else or somewhere else, like downloading them off the internet or waiting for the DVD to watch them in your living room, because you're fed up with the movie theater going experience because of all the people talking or the people checking their Blackberries or people eating their popcorn so loudly you can't hear the dialogue. Okay, I added that last one. The last movie I saw was in a great new theater, the Sundance Theater in Madison. But there was this guy who sat down in front of us, and he would shake his big box of Junior Mints. I think they were Junior Mints. And then put the box up to his mouth, tip his head back, and then shake some Junior Mints into his mouth. And he would do that over and over and over again. It was quite annoying. My guest says, what's needed is a grown-up moviegoer's bill of rights. And with the help of some of his readers, he's come up with some of the basics. We'll wonder this hour what you would put on this list, this moviegoer's bill of rights. What's your movie-going pet peeve? What would make your movie-going experience better? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, and please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Andrew O'Hare, senior entertainment writer for Salon.com. Good morning.
Good morning.
I understand you have family here in Wisconsin.
That's absolutely true. Yes, my sister-in-law, Lisa Heisel in Elm Grove, is, I hope, listening in this morning. I should say hi to her and her husband, Scott, and their kids, Emily and Eric.
Well, hi to Lisa and Scott. Call in. Do they agree with you? Are sometimes the movies at the theater a bit too much to take?
Well, you know, my sister-in-law actually says that people in Wisconsin do go to the movies a lot, especially in the winter, and that makes a lot of sense to me. You can't go ice fishing every day, can you?
That's right. But you posed this question in a column a while back, and apparently lots of readers posted comments saying that they're fed up with going to the movies.
Yeah, no, seriously, I think that it is a real phenomenon, especially for people where you're starting to talk about families with children and responsibilities, where going to the movies is a major undertaking both of time and money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people really are fed up. My column is primarily about, not about Hollywood movies, but about independent film. So I kind of have a self-selected readership, people who are devoted film fans, but probably not people that are, you know, teenagers or acclimated to going to see the latest Pirates of the Caribbean adventure.
Right, so, right, yeah.
So they are very concerned about the level of the theater-going experience, and a lot of my readers, even though they are, you know, devoted fans of movies, will wait for the DVD to come out or will wait for, you know, such time as other mechanisms. There are already movies you can download legally, and that's going to become more and more a feature, I think. And, you know, people will write in and say, I just had my 42-inch screen installed and my stereo system is better than the one at the theater, and I hate everything that goes on at the theater. I don't go there anymore. I get those letters all the time. And it sort of troubles me, because I think to those of us who grew up loving the movies, the idea of going to the movies was part of the whole experience. And part of appreciating, you know, Citizen Kane or The Wizard of Oz or whatever, you know, your first grade movie-going experience was being there with all those people, being amazed at what you were seeing on the screen and having this kind of communal experience with strangers, which, you know, goes all the way back to, I suspect, to the early theater of the Greeks, that idea of being in a public space with a lot of people sharing this moment.
Yeah, and assuming that that you can afford the movie and you want to see the movie, it's a good film. You have some advice for people in terms of whether or not can we stop these people from talking and checking their Blackberries and the like?
Boy, that's such a tough one. Nobody wants to be the person who complains to the management, but I think it is ultimately up to both the patrons, the ones who are responsible, and the owners of the theater to provide an appropriate environment. And there's no question that my readers chimed in on a number of key issues, and probably number one was the behavior of other people in the theater.
Yeah,
once you get past the financial question, as you say, I think it can cost $100 for a family to go out to the movies pretty easily if you factor in babysitting, and maybe in some cases you have to pay for parking, et cetera. But the question of people who talk during the movie, people who answer their cell phone during the movie, and people who look at those infernal, I mean, I carry one, but I don't know why anybody thinks that you can open up a little teeny computer screen in the middle of a crowded, dark room where people are trying to share a moment of, awe or horror or romance or whatever it may be, and that it's okay somehow to have this bright, brilliant blue thing right in the middle of that crowd of strangers. I personally have a thing about that, definitely.
Yeah, and can you believe shaking a big box of candy and pouring it on your throat?
That's a good story. And Junior Mints are pretty loud, too.
I just couldn't believe it. And that was at an independent, upscale type theater, independent films, too. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it, though, I guess. But
yeah, it's tough. I really think that people have to take it. I think you have to confront people when they're being rude. I really do. There's a way to do it without being coming off like a complete jerk. You could say, "Please, you're disturbing not just me, but everybody else in this theater right now." And
yeah.
I think that we have to sort of enforce a code of conduct. The idea that if you're going to go to the movies, it is a shared experience, and you're expected to play by certain rules. And that doesn't mean don't laugh when it's funny, for heaven's sake, or don't scream when the monster jumps out of the closet. It just means try to be considerate of the other people that are there.
We are talking with Andrew O'Hare, senior entertainment writer for Salon.com, talking about his moviegoer's bill of rights, the annoying things that people do in the theater and things that we want to see happen to make our movie-going experience a better one. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Looking for your movie-going pet peeve. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, September the 10th. Coming up a little later this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 4, Ben and his guest will talk about General David Petraeus beginning his Iraq War Progress Report before Congress today. Ben and his guest will review the testimony and ask for your reaction after 4 o'clock this afternoon. You can hear that testimony online if you'd like to go to our website, wpr.org, and click on the NPR link. We will also be carrying, after 6 o'clock, a wrap-up, an hour-long special program from National Public Radio on the Iraq War hearing before Congress today. That's at 6. Right now, we're talking about going to the movies and what bugs us when we go to the movies and what we would want on our moviegoer bill of rights. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest recently posed this question to his readers. He is Andrew O'Hare, senior entertainment writer for Salon.com. And here's what he heard from one reader. The theaters are dirty, smelly, sticky floored, and filled with idiots who talk during the film. Most of the movies are crummy and not worth the price. Our couch is much more comfortable. The food is a lot better. Our living room doesn't stink of popcorn grease and dirty feet. We can stop for bathroom breaks, and if the cat interrupts the movie, we can just toss her in the basement. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send your pet peeve to talk@wpr.org. What is it you want when you go to the movie theater? Bob in River Falls is first. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
We've gone to, our kids are 13 and 17 now, and we go to movies a lot now because it's a quick 20-minute shot over to the eastern suburbs of the Twin Cities, and they built a huge multiplex. It's like 22 theaters, and they have stadium seating. There's spacious between the rows, and the people in front of you are way below you. It's like you don't even notice. and they've got DLP sound. It's some kind of digital sound in the theaters. They're digital. You don't even notice other people, and it's a different environment. I'd never been in an environment like that before. It completely changed our experience, so it's very difficult for people to annoy you because you don't even notice them. You're surrounded by this powerful sound, and the way it's laid out, you got room for people to walk in and out, and you don't even notice if people can walk, you know, get between the rows, and it doesn't annoy you, and it's really great. And we can go online and get our tickets. We can get the $4.50 tickets. We go during the evening or during the lunch or supper hour, and we get really good deals. We go in, and there are hardly any people in there anyways. It's just fantastic. Also, in our town, an old theater that was built in the 1930s had sat empty for years, and somebody came in and renovated it, and they only charge, it's like brand new, but they only charge like $3 for adults, and popcorn's, you know, like 50 cents, and pop is 50 cents and whatever, and they run first-run movies. It gets packed. People are pretty respectful, and because
Bob, I am so jealous.
Yeah, it's really neat. But in town here, they can only show one film at a time. But we go to our theater, we walk downtown and watch it, and it's great. We've been enjoying it.
Hold on, Andrew. Not everybody's annoyed by their movie-going experiences.
No, it's always nice to hear from people who have a good story to report. And I do think that some of the newer theaters. Like the caller's talking about, with the stadium seating and the really high-end sound, have managed to kind of ameliorate some of these problems that we're talking about here. I'd be curious to see what kind of food they charge. What kind of food they sell at the giant multiplex and how much it costs, which is one of the issues that my readers complain about a lot.
But the cost of food?
Yeah, the cost of food and also the quality, that whether you're just getting popcorn and candy, essentially, and soda pop at extremely inflated prices, as opposed to someplace that might have a little bit more variety, a little bit, you know, fresher ingredients, something a little bit more that grown-ups might want to eat,
yeah.
And where the price is not, you know, seven times what you would pay if you bought it in any other setting.
Bob, what about the food?
Yeah, at the multiplex, of course, it's going to be more expensive, so... You know, we don't usually get much there. The kids might get a pop or something. It is outrageously expensive for that, but hey, big deal. We just, you don't need it. But at our theater, we get to load up on that when we go to our local theater, where a big bucket of buttered popcorn, freshly popped, right in front of you, is 50 cents to a dollar for the most expensive bucket. And then pop is like 50 cents, and the candy bars are 50 cents. So,
yeah.
you can bring $10 and for the family and have all the popcorn and everything else you want, and you see
a 50 cents for a big bucket,
yes,
of popcorn?
Yes. It's a community. I mean, these people aren't in it to make tons of money, and it's a great story. There have been a lot of stories, articles written about it in the Twin Cities papers about this particular theater. It's really a neat deal. So
yeah, well, good. I'm glad you're enjoying your movies and enjoying the experience much more than many of us. Bob, we appreciate the call. Is the industry concerned about this, Andrew? Are fewer people going to movie theaters?
This is a really highly debated question, Joy. You know, you could get different answers from everybody in the movie business about this. I think the long-term trend is not catastrophic, but slightly troubling. Mm-hmm. I think because the price is always shifting, it can be rather difficult to tell from year to year whether the number of people going is higher or lower. But considering that there are more theater screens and more seats available than ever before, I think the evidence is pretty clear that movie going is kind of flat or slightly on the decrease.
Mm-hmm.
And so the industry is just at the beginning to worry about this. They're not worrying about it that much yet. I think for what I'm talking about, people who go see independent films and largely not at the multiplex theaters, it's a more critical issue, because we're probably talking about no more than 5 to 10% of the movies that are shown in the United States. And the theaters tend to be in more urban areas or in college towns, such as Madison,
mm-hmm.
and or Milwaukee, and other cities and towns, and not so much in the suburban areas where you have the giant multiplexes. And a lot of those giant multiplex theaters really are great. They're probably only going to show movies that were made by the six major Hollywood studios. And for the majority of moviegoers, that's probably fine. But there is a population who's not going to be, happy that their options are limited in that way.
Thanks to Bob. Elone in Milwaukee is next. Hi, you're on the air.
That I have a complaint, and I have heard that from many people. It is the volume. I went to a very fine theater, Fox Bay in Whitefish Bay, Harry Potter, and could not hear a word because it was turned on so loud that the only time you could make out what they were saying when the actors were whispering. And that is repeatedly happens, and I've heard many people say that they cannot go to movies because the volume is so high.
And the only time you could understand them was when they were whispering, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. What about the audio quality, Andrew?
I think audio quality is so variable at different theaters that it is a major concern. And it does seem as if I've certainly had the experience of going especially to a movie like The Caller mentions, a major Hollywood film, and the volume is just deafening. And I don't really understand what the reason for that is. I guess some people really want to have that feeling when the Dolby effects kick in that they're being rocked, pushed around in their seat by the explosion or whatever. And I don't understand why it isn't possible to, you know, modulate the volume correctly so the dialogue is at a pleasant level and your eardrums are not being destroyed. I also have people complain that in some cases the volume is too low at their neighborhood theater or at the local multiplex. I think that's a less common experience, but it does seem, again, I think that you have to raise this with the management. I mean, there's no excuse for it, but if they finally hear this from patrons, maybe they'll start to pay attention to it.
Thanks to Elone. Dell in Richfield is with us now. Hi, Dell. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
This is my first time calling in, but it's just stuck a nerve with me. My wife and me go to the movie quite often, and two things that just drive me up the wall. One is parents with children who kick the seat in front of you, and it just there's nothing you can do about it. And the other thing is movies out of focus. You just keep on hoping that the projectionist will actually look at the screen and adjust it so you don't have to miss part of the movie to go up and tell them.
Right, that's always a hassle, yeah.
Those are my two pet peeves.
Well, I'm glad you called in, Dell, for the first time. We struck a chord with him. Movies out of focus and kids kicking the seat, Andrew?
Movies out of focus is a really common problem, especially when you're talking about the giant suburban multiplexes, where the fact is there probably is no projectionist in that booth looking at the thing. It's being run automatically. There's one assistant manager who you'd have to run all the way out to the lobby to find, probably, whose job it is to do that. It's just such an inexcusable thing, and it's part of the way the industry works now. It happens a lot, I think. And unfortunately, the people in the theater are just going to have to... If I saw any appreciable portion of the movie without it in focus, I would go out and I would say, not only do you have to turn it on focus, you have to either start the movie over again or, you know, give us all free drinks or something, you know, really, really make them suffer. And, you know, families at the movies, you know, goodness knows I may have been that parent.
Well, you know, and I was going to say, it's not just kids. I've had, you know, adults with their foot tapping on the top of my seat and everything else. So I guess my solution to that is just an irritated sigh, and sometimes that works.
Yeah, it may not work so well with a six-year-old.
That's right. Yeah. We're talking with Andrew O'Hare, senior entertainment writer for Salon.com, talking about a recent column where he proposed a moviegoer's bill of rights. We'll talk more after the news. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36 on this Monday morning, September the 10th. I'm Joy Cardine. We welcome your additions to a moviegoer's bill of rights during this hour. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We are talking with Andrew O'Hare, senior entertainment writer for Salon.com, who posed this question to his readers, finding out what their annoyances are when they go to the movies and what would make their movie-going experience a better experience. And he writes in a recent column, assuming for the purposes of argument that some movies are actually worth seeing at the price, or would be if what you were doing was actually fun and relaxing, some central themes come into focus. You want consistent picture and sound quality. You want comfortable seating. You want little or no pre-show advertising and absolutely no condescending lectures about movie piracy. You don't mind a few trailers as long as they don't go on forever and don't seem totally incongruous with the movie you are there to see. You want decent, reasonably priced food options and possibly an adult beverage or three. You want the movie to start on time. You want the place to be acceptably clean and tidy, although no one is expecting your mom's bathroom circa 1973. You want the people around you to shut up during the movie. You want them to turn off their damn phone so you can especially want anybody who somehow thinks it's okay to consult their BlackBerry to be dragged right out of the theater in chains. What about you? What are your annoyances when you go to the movie? What would you put on this moviegoer bill of rights? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org and please include your first name and your community with your email. And maybe you've had a great movie-going experiences and want to talk about that. Maybe where's the best place you've ever seen a movie? Is there a theater that caters to your movie-goer bill of rights? Susan in Green Bay is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
My husband and I had an interesting experience a few years ago when he had a broken foot and ankle for about 3 years, and we love going to the movies. And in Green Bay, we have a couple multiplexes, and in Stadium City, you have the lower seating, and then on the same level, you have handicapped seating. And usually the handicapped seating is not used by handicapped people. It's by able-bodied people. And there were two seats open, and he politely went up to the lady who was sitting in a three-seat area with the two seats open and said, "Pardon me, do you have any people in your party that are handicapped?" And at that point, she didn't say anything, and she ran out of the theater, and so we sat down in the two other seats because he needed to put his foot up. And when she came back, she had her husband, I assume, and one other person, and the husband was so abusive because we were sitting in those seats, and they were not handicapped. And all throughout the movie, we could hear it. He was saying, I'm going to take that leg and beat you over the head with it.
Well,
that
sounds like the manager definitely, if not the police, had to get involved in that one.
Well, and that's the thing. And finally, the people around him started telling him to shut up. And he did, eventually. And then we ignored it. And then, of course, he had to have the parting shot when he left the theater when the movie was over. But, you know, it's like when it wasn't like we were able-bodied people trying to take those seats from them.
Right, right. Well, obviously, super jerk. Andrew O'Hare, the rest of the theater started to come to the aid, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's a shame when stuff like this happens. I have vivid memories of being a kid going to movies all the time in say, the 1970s, when there actually were ushers in the movie theater. You know, now, to some extent, they were trying to just maintain order in theaters full of kids, but they actually would enforce some degree of reasonable behavior, and, you know, patrons who really did things that were unacceptable were simply asked to leave the theater. You know, there would be a couple of people, at least, with those little red-tipped flashlights in each theater. And I think part of the way the movie-going experience has changed in the last decade or so is that no theaters have those anymore, pretty much. And so, you know, enforcement of some reasonable degree of civility is really up to the other people in the theater. And I just think it's terrible when stuff like that happens.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Susan. You know, the Sundance Theater that just recently opened in Madison, though, might be an exception to that. in that they have an usher or an attendant of some sort who comes and greets everybody just before the movie starts and says we'll be, you know, hanging out in the theater for the first little while anyway to make sure the sound and the audio is good. And so they're at least trying to confront that with the Sundance theaters.
That's great. I can't wait to come to Madison and check it out.
Yeah. Thanks, Susan. Diane in DeSoto is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Well, one of my peeves is that you go to a movie theater and you think, oh, good, I'm going to have popcorn, and you watch them dump it out of this huge plastic bag into the bin. And I'm like, how long has it been in that plastic bag anyway? And then part of it's the cost. I mean, by the time I spend $8 to $10 for my seat, then to get popcorn that isn't any good, and then the pop. And so what I usually do, if I wait till the movie's at a theater that I know I like, that it's good quality and that it's homemade fresh popcorn, because that's part of my reason for going to a movie. And then I also usually will take my bottle of pop in my purse, and if I really want a candy bar, I throw that in there too. It's the only way for me to, you know, affordably, you know, to go. Otherwise, I just stay home. But it's kind of nice to go out and see one in theater.
Yeah, I've seen those plastic bags of already popped popcorn, Andrew O'Hare. Have you?
Goodness knows where that popcorn is coming from, too. How long it's been in that bag? Where was it shipped from exactly? That it had to be in a plastic bag.
And how long did it sit on the shelf?
Yeah. And you know, I think that one of the things about the movie, what's known as the exhibition industry, that is the movie theater industry, is that they make almost all of their profit from the concession sales. A movie has to play for several weeks before the theater owner starts seeing any significant amount of revenue from the actual tickets that are sold. At first, that money's going straight back to the producers of the film, or the distributors of the film, I should say. And so that kind of accounts for these outrageous prices that you see. I still don't think there's a good excuse for the combination of quality and price that you see at an awful lot of big theaters, where you have, you know, this prepackaged popcorn with that butter-flavored goop, whatever that is, on it, and they want to charge you $5 or something for, you know, a tub of it that you could make that popcorn at home for, I don't know, what would you say, 40 cents?
Yeah,
you know,
maybe.
I have no idea. And so I really think there are some theaters around the country that I know about that are trying to address this by giving you actually an interesting range of food options. And, you know, the price is still not going to be probably as cheap as at home, but if you're going to buy something that's tasty and interesting, you might not mind paying a slight premium for it in the context of being able to eat it at your seat. There are, in fact, theaters that will come around and serve you food and drink at your seat for a somewhat reasonable price, and I think those theaters are doing very, very well.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I don't think I've been. You say here on your Movie Goer Bill of Rights that we want an adult beverage or three, and I have to admit I don't know if I've been to a theater that serves alcoholic beverages.
It's a small but growing trend. Now, obviously, in areas where most people are driving to and from the theater, you want to be a little cautious about this. But you know, presumably, the other people in the party, if you're going in a group, could enjoy a beverage or two. But I've been to a few, not many, but there are theaters where they serve, say, beer and wine. And as I say, there's a great theater that I've been to in Austin, Texas, for example, where they actually will come around and you put a little slip of paper in a slot in front of your seat, and they come around and serve you a beer or a soda or a glass of wine or whatever other beverage you might want at the seat.
Yeah, good idea. Do you think it's okay for people to smuggle food into theaters because they want their own food?
Do I think it's okay? No, I think that's highly immoral, and I don't think anyone should ever do it. Well, I mean, come on. I mean, if what do they expect people to do, for heaven's sake? You know, I think we've all done it. I certainly do it. And, you know, since I cover the business, I do understand that these people have to make money. I think that they could do it with more imagination and variety than by selling you stale popcorn for $6.
By the way, email from David in Madison regarding kids kicking the back of the seats says that he's tried to use humor before and it's worked. He would turn around and say to the child, so the parents could also hear it, "Would you please stop kicking my seat? I'm a close personal friend of Santa Claus."
So, that's excellent.
Very good. Talking with Andrew O'Hare, senior entertainment writer for Salon.com. about what it is that bugs us when we go to the movie theater and what we would put on our moviegoer bill of rights. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our lines have been busy, but now there's an open line for you. We welcome your participation. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, it's the State Capitol Report, from the stalled budget to the future of family planning clinics. We will talk with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson about the latest happenings from under the state Capitol dome, coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about what it is that bugs us when we go to the movie theater. Your movie-going pet peeves, what you would like to see on a movie-goer bill of rights. Andrew O'Hare, our guest, senior entertainment writer for Salon.com, who recently wrote about this issue in one of his columns. And by the way, Andrew, your sister-in-law, Lisa, emails, "I'm listening, but I'm also getting ready for work. Great program, and people in Wisconsin do have other things to do besides ice fishing in the winter."
I was specifically teasing her and her husband with that comment. Yes. So
Ken in Eau Claire is with us. Hi, Ken. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Joy. My pet peeve, going to a movie, looking forward to a good film, but before the film begins, being bombarded by loud, I mean, ear-piercingly loud previews for at least, it seems like, 15 to 20 minutes. And the movie seemed, the previews, of course, because they have to be so short, will pick the most sensational parts of the movie. So for 20 minutes, we're subjected to explosions and screeching tires and car crashes and gunshots and at a very loud volume. So that's my pet peeve, and I'll be interested to hear what your guest has.
I'm with you, Ken. What do you think, Andrew?
Yeah, I think the guest is exactly on target. There sometimes are up to 20 minutes of previews and advertising and other kind of filler material before the movie starts. You know, that's for a variety of reasons. They want to prime the pump for all the other movies that they're showing, and then they also want to wait for the latecomers, which is, you know, an unfortunate thing. Movies, you know, we all know perfectly well that if a movie says it starts at 7:20, it probably doesn't really start until 7:35 or 7:40, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are a small number of theaters that are now publishing an actual start time for the movie. It's dangerous because maybe people will still come late. And I think the answer for that is at some point, some theaters actually, you know, say maybe 5 minutes into the movie, 7 minutes into the movie, whatever they decide, won't let anybody in. And that would be a breakthrough to me. But to go back to the original point here, I absolutely think that part of our Bill of Rights needs to be a fairly limited number of previews. And I don't mind watching some previews. I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's, say, maybe three or four previews and the movies are more or less relevant to the movie that we're seeing, you know, I don't know. If I'm there to see some independent film about, you know, World War II France or something, I don't know that I want to see a trailer for Transformers
right
at that moment, you know, which is what they kind of tend to do. They'll throw whatever they've got coming at you. I think three or four of them might be okay, and what my readers really tend to hate is the advertising. I think that we're seeing more and more, I don't know how much you guys see it in Wisconsin.
Too much,
more,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more and more you get an advertisements for a soda pop or whatever it may be that probably lead off the set of trailers and also finish the set of trailers. And this is what's going to push a lot of people's buttons, I think. I have it on pretty good authority if they are talking about interrupting the films with commercials at some point.
Oh, that would really trip people's triggers if that happened.
They want to sort of smooth the way to it, by introducing more and more of them during what's called the pre-show, so that people get used to it. But I think there's way too much of that stuff already. People, I kind of feel on principle that when you've paid, you know, somewhere between $6 and $12, depending where you are in the country, you don't have to watch advertising at that point, I think. You know, we're used to watching advertising on television because we don't pay to watch TV, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's pretty unconscionable, and I think that, you know, those of us who love movies need to draw a line in the sand on all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't get a caller with the ads. What you brought up, though, is my husband's biggest pet peeve, is he wants to be there early. He doesn't mind being there early. He wants to even see the previews, too, because he enjoys seeing what might be coming up. But people who come in late and insist on crawling over you, you know, to get to a seat and or standing, you know, in your line of vision looking around for a seat.
Well, some of my readers in Southern California have written in to say there's a famous old theater in Los Angeles called the Arclight in Hollywood where they do not let anyone in after the main feature has started. The doors are shut. You know, people inside can leave to go to the bathroom, of course, but new ticket buyers are not admitted. And that's a drastic solution. Most theaters would not decide to do that because they want to sell that ticket. But I think that people who go to that theater are intensely loyal to it for that reason.
1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890. If you'd like to share a pet peeve that you have when it comes to going to the movies and your movie-going experience at a theater, what would it take to lure you back to the theater more often? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Tom in Appleton is with us next. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hi. When I was in Pensacola, Florida years ago, I was in a theater that was called the Cinema Tavern. I don't know if it still exists. But when you went in, you were basically sitting in a restaurant with a movie screen. And so you could get served food. They served like fries, hamburger, pizza. They served beer. And you sat down, and it was a great experience. Back when I was married to my first wife, we saw Monty Python and the Holy Grail and Nightmare on Elm Street in one sitting there.
How romantic.
Quite a double bill. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's I recall something like that too. It was a you know, dinner, sort of a cinema restaurant kind of a thing.
Yeah. The dinner theater, except for the movie. Yeah. There is a little bit more and more of that. That's one of the areas in which theaters that especially that show independent film or foreign film are experimenting. There's a very successful one in Orlando, Florida, actually, which is in an old Victorian house, which serves pretty high-end food. Like, you can get, you know, grilled shrimp and other seafood dishes and so forth, and they show independent films and foreign films in a restaurant setting. You know, I don't know how widespread that is going to be. That seems to me like a sort of niche market thing. If you're going to spend an additional $20 or so, you know, eating while you're watching the movie, that's it's an interesting idea. You know, it may well catch on. But I think that you're going to see somewhat more of diversity, at least, in what's available at theaters, because the demand is clearly there. And to some extent, we probably, you know, some communities will start to see these kinds of theaters, these kinds of dinner cinemas or whatever you want to call them.
Have to be careful then, because including this Mike in La Crosse, who sent this email, saying, I used to live on a dairy farm, and I have to say that 40 cows eating hay were quieter than the people around me at the theater, eating their popcorn and slurping their sodas, rustling around with the bottom of the popcorn box, eating with their mouths open, rattling ice, sucking on the last drop out of the cup. If anyone ate like that with the lights on, we would be gaping at them in horror. What do you think?
That's a really good comment. Yeah. I don't know why people think in general that kind of manners go out the door. You know, some of my readers have speculated that what we're dealing with is a larger social problem, that people are a little bit less used to the idea of public space or the public sphere, as a sociologist might say, where the way that you're supposed to behave is a little bit different, you know, than just sitting on your couch. And we've all gotten so used to sitting around in the living room watching movies where we can talk and throw things at each other, and you know, that it's difficult to translate back to the world of sitting in a movie theater. But you do hear tremendous racket sometimes when you're in the theater, and I don't know why that is. I don't know why people, you know, why it's so difficult for 97 minutes or something for people to sit in relatively quietly.
Mm-hmm. Maureen in Eau Claire, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, when you mentioned couch, my husband and I visited our daughter in Portland, and they have a theater there that's part of an old school that's been renovated into a restaurant, bed and breakfast, and they used the old auditorium and made it into a movie theater with couches and chairs. They serve beer and wine and pizza. and yet the people were all civilized. I mean, it was a rather relaxed atmosphere, but it was just delightful. They didn't show first-run movies, but it was wonderful. It was a very relaxed, very civil atmosphere in this remodeled old school that was just wonderful. It was called McMiniman's.
Sounds good.
Kennedy School.
Yeah. Andrew?
I've heard about that place. It sounds like a good one. And I think especially in your kind of classic, you know, borderline bohemian student ghetto kind of neighborhood, and Portland, I take it this is Portland, Oregon, would be a really good example of that kind of city. You do start to see these kinds of places where they bring in the old couches and the decor is a little bit funky, and you know, they probably are not in a position to book first-run films, so they're booking either second-run films or independent films or something else. And those are some of my favorite kinds of theaters, and I think that that's another niche of the market that is going to continue to expand a little bit slowly, but it's going to be out there as there are more and more people in the sort of demographic that we're talking about, people who are grown-ups who want a slightly different experience than you're going to get at the mall with the, you know, the sticky floors.
It's been fun, Andrew. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's been a blast.
Andrew O'Hare, senior entertainment writer for Salon.com. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network.